Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. Welcome to church. Great to see you here. I love what Pastor Brian said. Church is not an event you go to. Church is a family we belong to. And one of the things that brings me the greatest joy are my spiritual sons and daughters. And that's all of us, but especially some of the young men and some of the young ladies that we've been able to get really close to. And Paul talked about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, he was writing to the Thessalonians, he said, "What is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes?" What is our hope? What is our joy? What is our crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? And then he says this, "Is it not you? You are, indeed, you are our glory and joy." So when I stand up here and I say, "I love you, I'm proud of you," I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I really do. And every one of you, and I wish I could get to know every one of you and hug every one of you and have coffee. Just, it's not possible. So I have to get close to some people. And our preacher tonight is one of those young sons who is my joy, who is my crown. And he solved a real problem for me. He married a young lady called Sheila. And she needed a strong man. She really did. She really did. Because she's a lot like my wife, Marilyn. Marilyn needed a strong man. So our pastor tonight comes all the way from Entebbe. Come on, would you stand and would you give a big clap to Graham Tugume?
You're all very kind. You may be seated. Watoto Church downtown, what's happening? Are you all good? Do you like who you're sitting next to? If you don't, you have 30 seconds to change seats. And when you're finally comfy, we can jump right into the Word of God. It's so awesome to be back here with you. I also miss you when I'm gone. I love it in Entebbe, but east or west, there's something about this place. There is the Spirit of God really is here. And I want to encourage somebody that may be in the house of God today and you really came to encounter God. It's written in the scriptures that he inhabits the praises of his people. And so he is already right here and he's already ministering to you. And there are people already receiving answers from God and miracles in their lives, and transformation is already started before an altar call, before even getting to the Word of God. That's just how powerful the presence of God is. So you are in the right place. I bring you love and greetings from my stubborn wife, Sheila, who Pastor Gary has just spoken about, and our three adorable babies, Alexa, Blanche, and Chase Tugume. They send their absolute love to all of you. They really love downtown as well. When they're here, they just have a blast. They come and say, "Dad, are we going to Watoto Church in Kampala?" And I say, "No, you're stuck with me in Entebbe. It's just the way it is. I don't know what to tell you. But I hope you receive me because I can't wait to get into the Word of God." Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, as I open your Word, I pray that you make it clear to me that every word that I say will plant a seed in the hearts of your people, and that the seed will be watered and it will grow and it will bear fruit and it will multiply for the glory and honor of your name. Do it, Lord. Do it tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Our theme for this year is the kingdom of God first. And it comes out of the scripture in Matthew that says, "But seek first his kingdom and all his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, when you hear about the word kingdom, it conjures up certain images in our minds. We all think about one or two things when we think about a kingdom. Maybe we think about a king. Maybe we think about a people, like a people group with a common language and common customs and, you know, a common outfit, and you can be able to just look at someone and say, this is from such and such a place. Perhaps a common language, perhaps a territory. When I say the kingdom of so and so, immediately your mind goes to a certain area of this country or maybe of the world. There's a story about three blind men that were asked to describe an elephant. And all of them went and touched the elephant. And the first blind man said, it's like a snake. You know, it is thin and long and it can change shape. And someone, the second guy said, what are you talking about? It's like a tree. Because the first guy was holding the trunk. The second guy was holding its leg. And he said, it's like a tree. It is steadfast and large and strong. And another one says, what are you people talking about? Because he was touching the body. He said, it's flat and a bit rough and a bit hairy. I don't know what you guys are holding. So each of them was not incorrect. Just as their description was incomplete. They all had a certain idea what the elephant looks like, but only if you can you see that they're all right, and it's just they're describing a little piece of the elephant. So let's agree, for the purposes of this message, that a kingdom has to have at least four features. Number one is a king. Without a king, what do you have? When people come to your kingdom and say, take us to your leader, there's got to be somebody. There has to be a king. Can we agree that far? Okay, there's got to be subjects, willing subjects. Because if you have a king that is lording it over unwilling subjects, they tend to sort of be like hostages. You could be called a despot or a dictator. So they have to be willing subjects. Furthermore, you must have a territory, a domain, a place where your kingship starts and ends. Very important. Without a territory, you just have a king with subjects, but without territory, he's a rebel. He's just waiting to attain territory by some means or the other. Lastly, there's got to be a constitution, some kind of common laws and customs and, you know, things that bind us together as a people in that kingdom. So let's look over the next couple of weeks about a kingdom as it concerns the kingdom of God. This kingdom that we are talking about, that we must seek first, and all these other things will be added unto us. For today's message, I'd like to just, first of all, give you a brief history of the kingdom of God. Now, that is an ambitious task, given that the kingdom of God started before the foundations of the world. Man, he's been in charge before time began. So let's just agree for a good starting point, something more recent. You know, like 4,000 years ago recent. Let's start at Abraham. God calls a man and says, I'm going to make a nation out of you. And Abraham has a son called Isaac, who in turn has a son called Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and one of the boys has a crazy dream one day about his other brothers bowing down and serving him. And they're like, man, who's this dude? Let's sell him to some slave traders or something. I'm sure some of you might have siblings whom, if you had the chance and if it had not been for Jesus, you would sell today. But this is what happened to the little boy. And Joseph goes to Egypt, and after some hardship, as God would have it, he rises to be Pharaoh's number two. That story turns around because he gets to save his own brothers, his people, his father, from a famine that had, you know, hit them back home. So they moved in to a place called Goshen in Egypt, and evening passed and morning came. It was all good. But something happens. Joseph dies. Pharaoh dies. But the people that had moved in were thriving, and they started to multiply. And 400 years later, we have a Pharaoh who says, who are all these people? Because technically, a nation has been formed inside his nation. And as you can imagine, that makes the host nation quite nervous. Now God, as he would have it in this story, Pharaoh takes these people and enslaves them and makes them build him a city and increases their labor. And God says, man, it's time for me to rescue my people. So he calls a man called Moses. Says, Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let who? My people go. So the first thing I want on that list is people. We're starting to build the kingdom of God. Are we together? He gives Moses a constitution on a tablet. On tablets, several actually. We all know the Ten Commandments. What they don't tell you is that there is another 613 that follow those ones. It's a whole deal that is designed to make the people in the kingdom of God distinct from everyone else round about them. That is going to be an important feature, because I will come back to it. Remember that. These laws are supposed to keep them distinct. So we have a people, we have a constitution. Next, territory. We need a piece of land. And so when Moses passes away, Joshua takes over from him and leads them across the Jordan into a place called the Promised Land, which is Canaan, as you would have it. So now we have a people, we have customs, we have land. And after Joshua dies, the children of Israel enter a period of time where anything goes. The people in charge were called judges. And there was such chaos. And when the people got tired of the chaos, they said, God, will you give us, what was the most important character? A king. What they didn't know is that they already had a king. God himself was their king. But they're like, yeah, I don't know about that. We want a king who we can see and touch, and someone who's going to lead us into battle, and then we were going to be like every other nation. The one thing they are not supposed to do. God says, man, if I give you an earthly king, he's going to tax you higher than 10%. You better stick with me, because I'm just 10%. If you got tithe, we're good. But this guy, man, everything you work for, he's going to take it away. He's going to enslave you. And he said, man, we insist. And so God reluctantly allows them to have an earthly king. Now, you may not all be biblical scholars, so I'm going to summarize quite ambitiously 6 books of the Bible in one line. Those books have the full account of the earthly kings that took over. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. The long and short of those 6 books, read them on your own time, but it was a disaster. It didn't go anywhere. And so God sent some prophets, men of God, Malachi and Isaiah and Jeremiah, to warn his people that, you know what, I'm going to start over. I'm going to build a kingdom 2.0. Turn to your neighbor and say, kingdom 2.0. This is the new version. This is the upgrade. Are you feeling me? This is kingdom 2.0. Something is different in this kingdom because, look, we need a king, we need subjects, we need a territory, we need laws. In this kingdom 2.0, we have a different kind of subjects. They are not only one race, they are every race, every tribe, every color, every nation. You can be a part of this kingdom just for wanting to be a part of the kingdom. I wish green cards were like that, where you can just want to be a citizen of a country and they say, congratulations, you're a citizen. At the end of this service, we're going to give you an opportunity to sign up for citizenship in the kingdom of God, because every subject can come from anywhere. Okay, let's talk about constitution and customs and traditions. Gone are the days when they had to be built, you know, written on stone tablets. In the new kingdom 2.0, they're written on people's hearts. And man, we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us that will convict you and remind you of what the Word of God says, so the people of God can live distinctly different from everybody around them. But the law is not on pages, it's not on an iPad, it's wherever I am, it's in my heart. So we have citizenry from everywhere. We have laws that we walk around with. The mobile version, gotta be awesome. Territory. 2.0, we do not have a certain piece of land where the people of God must only be resident here. Let me tell you something about the kingdom of God. You're all like ambassadors. You know, an ambassador, when he's in an embassy, that embassy is property of the country that sends him. So that's the tricky thing about the kingdom of God, because as a citizen, wherever you are, is the territory of the kingdom of God. I wish that was a finite number, but it's not. Because all of you, wherever you step, you're already in the kingdom of God. But anyone else who signs up, even if they're in Japan, even if they're in China, even if they're in the United States, or somewhere in Europe, or Iceland, everywhere they step is part of the territory of the kingdom of God. Let the church say amen. Man, these people... we have subjects in the new kingdom, we have law, we have territory. John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom of God is coming. Jesus Christ himself, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. You see, this kingdom is so crazy because you can't see it. You can't kill it. You can't ban it. You can try, but the gates of hell cannot overcome it. The kingdom is unstoppable. It's unchangeable. It's undefeatable. It's unborgable. Because of who its king is, it is King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's God himself who superintends over kingdom 2.0. Now we have a game changer. And in Matthew chapter 6, it's recorded that Jesus says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than slaying? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about threads? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even the Kardashians in all their swag can slay like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, and that is here today and gone tomorrow. I don't know what version you're reading. This is my Entebbe Standard Version. Just go with me on this, okay? It says, this grass is here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow. Will he not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? So just chill. Don't worry. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans worry about things like that. And your Father knows you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Come on, give glory to God in the house today. So what's the deal with this king? He is not like any other king. He is from before the foundations of the earth. He's from before time began. He was and is and still is to come from everlasting to everlasting. This king is, number one, he's eternal. Oh God. He isn't there just for the time being. He is forever. Pastor Joe was driving with his family the other day. And the kids wanted to go hang out somewhere. I think they wanted ice cream or something. But it was church time. And he says, nope, there is a time for everything. We're going to church now. And then his daughter, Amaro, said, Daddy, we're going to impeach you. And before she drew up articles of impeachment, Jackie, who was leading worship, had to step in and rescue her husband. And so you see this man, he's not going anywhere. He's in charge of this family for as long as he is breathing. Praise the Lord. But the king in the kingdom 2.0 cannot be impeached. He has no age limit. He has no term limits. He is here forever and a day. He will not die. He cannot be transferred. He will always be the king forever, eternally. Daniel says, how great are his signs. How mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. Other kings are not forever. Kingdoms can outlast their kings. Kings pass away, and someone else is going to come on after them. In fact, in the story I told you in Egypt, it says in Exodus chapter 1 that when Pharaoh and Joseph had died years past, a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power. In Egypt, this new king enslaved the Israelites. When Joseph was in state house, the people in Israel had connections in high places. They're like, man, our guy is up there. But when he died, the connections died with him. There came a king to whom Joseph meant nothing. When I was in O-level, we used to have a certain Maram road that goes around the school. And a certain parent pledged and actually fulfilled to tarmac that road all the way around the school. Normally, when parents do that, they are buying favor with top management. So that when they come back and when you've written your own things in exams, Yeah, we used to have a teacher who says when you start an exam, he would tell us everything in this exam has been covered in class. So all of you are starting with 100%. Your final mark determines on what nonsense you're about to start writing on that exam piece. Okay? So when that happens to you in national exams and you don't get the right marks to get back in, the parent can come and say, "Ma'am, do you know what I've been doing for this school? Of course you know who I am. Please give me a place." And normally they get it. But something weird happened at the end of our S3. The headmaster changed. So for all of S4, we had a person who knew not Joseph, and the name Joseph meant nothing to him. In S5, this girl comes back for a place, and the headmaster did not know who her father was. When he came, that road was already tarmac. He does not know what contribution you made, and she ended up in another school because earthly connections change. But the king of the kingdom 2.0, he is eternal. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will never require him, and you go and find a coat on his chair in the office, and he is not there. He is there eternally. Let the church say amen. If you can trust him to be eternal, can you not then trust him to look after what you eat and what you wear? All these other things, if you seek his kingdom first, they'll be added unto you as well. Let the church say amen. Number two, he is everywhere at once. Psalm chapter 139 says from verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." Let the church say amen. He is everywhere at once. We call this his omnipresence. He can be, there is no place where you can hide from him. You know, he can be at work in America, in Australia, in Asia, in Europe, right here in Africa, and actually in this room, he is here right now. Let me tell you, an earthly king, if you invite him to two functions at once, he can't be in both of them. He will go to one and then send a dignitary to the other. But God himself is present here by his spirit. He is omnipresent. The story in Matthew chapter 8 says when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asked him, "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word." Oh, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. "For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and say to this one, come, and he comes. I said to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom." There comes that word again, the kingdom of heaven. In verse 13 it says, "And Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. You see, Jesus can heal you from anywhere because he's omnipresent. There is nowhere he cannot reach you. He can hear you from anywhere. He can intervene into any situation, wherever it is. Don't lose faith in him. Maybe you are here today and your children run away from home and you do not know where they are. Don't give up praying, because God is omnipresent. He can reach them where they are. Maybe your spouse left you at home. He walked out on you and the family, and you do not know where he is. You hear rumors and text messages of where he is, but you have no clue. Let me tell you, he's not too far from the long arm of this king in Kingdom 2.0. Keep praying for him. I want to encourage somebody tonight. Don't give up. If you can just seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he can reach him wherever he is. There is no one who's too estranged for God to reach them. There is no one who's too sick or too far gone. Scripture even talks about a guy who actually died, but God was able to bring him back. Don't give up. Hang in there. Because this king, he's eternal and he's everywhere. Everywhere at the same time. Do not give up. You may have relatives who are working abroad. They say they're in such and such a country. It is next to slavery. They are living under such tough conditions. Let me tell you, God can be there. Just ask this king. He will show up on your behalf and deliver your people. Do you know why he can do that? Number three, because he has all power and all authority. All power and all authority. We call that his omnipotence. Most people in this generation are unfamiliar with kingship. Because we were born and raised on sort of democracy, and we each have an opinion, and we have social media, and that opinion can be published very quickly, and you have a right to your opinion, and it's cool. But in a kingdom, things don't operate like that. In an earthly kingdom, even much less. In an earthly kingdom, the king does not have all power and all authority. Let me give you an example. If you're the king of kingdom A, your influence stops at the boundary between A and B. If you walk into kingdom B and try to exercise your authority, that's a declaration of war. You're going to have some problems on your hands. You feel me? You have to be in your lane. Turn to your neighbor and say, in your lane. In your lane. Past presidents have woken up one day and abolished kingdoms altogether. It has ever happened. The other day, I won't say which kingdom, but there was a prince in traffic, and he was driving merrily along the way, and a motorcade came behind him with, you know, a chase car in the front with all the lights blinking. And this guy was feeling, man, I'm a prince. Who is going to get me off the road in my own kingdom? It happened to be a member of cabinet that was in that convoy. The moment they overtook him, the last pickup that has soldiers on it pulled him over. The chiboko that was there, while you're a prince in your own kingdom, should show you that even the king's people have a limit to their powers. But not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has all power and all authority. He can change any situation. He can turn any life around. He can turn any impossible situation around for the glory and honor of his name. There's only one king, and he's in charge of everything all the time. All earthly leaders are his deputies. They carry a measure of his power and his authority, and you can read about that in Romans chapter 13. But there are certain things that an earthly ruler cannot do. Someone in authority in the government can say, may all people with smartphones pay OTT. That's within his power. You're going to pay the over-the-top tax. But then his subjects who are unwilling can find a thing called a VPN. Are we together? And now suddenly you have crawled out from under the authority of an earthly ruler. But I want to tell you today that the King of Kingdom 2.0 has no VPN. He has authority everywhere. He can reach any situation. He can reach you anywhere on earth. He says in Ephesians, he's in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule, and not just for the time being either, but forever. He's in charge of it all and has the final word on Kingdom 2.0. Praise the Lord. Therefore, if God is the king, who are we? We're the subjects. Most kings are born of noble birth, and raised in the palace and trained in their kingly swag from a very early age. I know of a kingdom where the firstborn son of the king is not raised in the palace. From the day he is born, he is sent to live with a designated family of peasants. But that family is responsible for raising a just king from when he's a child. He will only enter the palace when he's 18. He's not yet king until his father dies. But one day he will be king, and when he is king, he makes rules and passes laws that do not squeeze the bottom person, because he has ever lived there. He has family down there. He knows how they live. He knows how his decisions impact the last person. It's a pretty cool way to raise a king. My brother went to primary school with a guy who we played with. We rolled tires and shot mangoes, and he was like just a regular dude until his dad passed away. We then discovered he was the rot of the Alur as an adult. When he came back home at my brother's graduation, this dude rocked up. And man, there was military fatigue everywhere. There's police escort, and the guy walks in, and people asking my brother, man, who's this guy? He's like, this guy is a king somewhere in Uganda. The guy is connected. For me, the king doesn't know me. My sister married a medical doctor who is high up in the Catholic Church. He works at Rubaga Hospital. He does not see anybody, just anybody. He sees the top of the Catholic Church. I'm talking the cardinal, the pronuncio, those are his patients, not just you. You can't just walk in and say, even me, I have a headache. He sees serious people. Are we together? So at their wedding, the ceremony stopped halfway, and the priest received a tube-like thing, and he opened it with a certain reverence and rolled out this thing and turned to the Mother Mary and bowed and did a certain thing. And then he rolled it out and read a personal message with their names in it. To so-and-so, on your wedding day, we wish you, you know, nice, kind words. And it was signed at the bottom, Pope Benedict XVI. And it had a seal by his signet ring in wax. Like, this thing has just come straight from the Vatican. I tell you, people are connected. My late father is now long gone. But when I drive with him through our village, when he would wave in the trading center, all the shopkeepers would wave back. And then we pass. And of course, the conversation would ensue after that. I say, man, you know that guy? Like, yeah, that guy, we used to be in primary together. They feel connected to the big man. When we reach home and he sends me back to the same trading center to buy sugar, I would drive now alone and wave at the same guys. And the guys would even look behind, like, are you waving at me? How do I know you? Let me tell you, if you're not connected, you're nothing. You're nobody. There is something good about being connected in high places. But let me tell you, I wonder how many kings you know. Even better, I wonder how many kings know you. But I have good news for you. In Kingdom 2.0, the king knows my name. And not just me, because I'm a pastor, he knows yours. And he knows yours. He knows yours. He's like that first king I told you about, who knows up to the last subject in his kingdom. Let me tell you, even if you join today and say, I want to be a citizen in the kingdom of God, he knows your name. He knows where you came from. He knows your story. He began your story. He knew that this day would come and that he had already prepared for you to make that step into his kingdom, to meet the step he has already made in sending Jesus Christ to die for you. This king knows your name. He knows me. And yet I'm a nobody. Just the fact that I'm a pastor, I can stand up here and preach and you take notes, is testament that God has a sense of humor. Because I'm nobody, you won't recognize my father's name. You won't recognize my name in the press. Tomorrow I could be front page news, and immediately you buy the paper, you go to page two, you say, over, who's this guy? And you turn. But I find my comfort in Paul's letters. Because Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians and said, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you, and I'm talking to you now, friends, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. I wish someone today would boast that the King knows your name and say, he knows my name. Oh, man. The other, in January, we had university graduations. Are there graduates here? Should we tell them? I think they're going to discover how the real world is when you're looking for a job. I read that in America, when you go to look for a job, they ask you what your experience is. If you go to the UK, they will ask you what your qualifications are. In Uganda, when you go to look for a job, they ask you who sent you. You have to be connected. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, but in the kingdom of God, the big man knows you. He knows everyone, every last one of you, and you can walk into any situation, any time of your life. And when they say, who sent you? You say, man, I'm here as an ambassador of Kingdom 2.0. Oh, man, my King is eternal. My King is everywhere. My King has all power and authority, and I'm here to represent him. I'm standing in his name. God sent me. Are you a citizen of the kingdom today? I wonder if you want in on this citizenship. You know, there's a parent, when we were in school, he had so many kids from so many moms. This dude knew like the first 5 children. But every time he would show up, it looked like half the school would run to his car. In fact, he had so many kids that if you had bounced on visiting day and your parents didn't come to see you, when you see his car, even you just go. You're going to get something. So this guy had a white cross country G-Wagon. He would pack it full of grub, bread, quencher. What the guy would appear and a whole swarm goes around him. And he knows the firstborn, the secondborn. And like, he'd ask, and this is a crude translation, but he would ask children who their moms were. Like, who did I impregnate to give birth to you? And you could just really quote anyone and say, you remember Hajati from where? I says, okay, also you're one of us. So when he caught up with his trick, he'd show up and get the firstborn and delegate everything, all the money and all the grub to the big boy. He said, you know your siblings, you sort them out. Then he jumps in his car and leaves. And so the sibling had the job of distributing all these things to the rest of the family. He didn't know his own children. There is a King who knows you. You may think you are not important. You may think you are just a throwaway. Maybe you are deserted by your earthly family. Maybe someone left you in the dust. Maybe someone said you will never amount to anything. They spoke only curses over you. But I want to tell you today that there is a King who loves you, who knit you together in your mother's womb. Some of you, your moms wanted to abort you, but your King knew that you were being formed. And he saw you through to where you are today. You are not a throwaway. Some of you, your dad's walked out on you. But I want to tell you today that you have a King who is also your heavenly Father, who will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always there. He is always present, always welcoming, always forgiving. Arms open wide now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor, glory forever and ever. Let the church say amen and amen and amen. God bless you tonight.
Great job, Graham. Thank you for delivering the Word of God. Wow. I don't know why anyone really, if you stop and think about it, why would you not want to be in this kingdom? Maybe it's because the devil has lied to you and you've believed his lies. Stop listening to his lies. He will do you no good, but this king is only good. Maybe there's a habit that got a hold of you and you think, I can't belong to that kingdom. My king will never accept me. Oh, he's so full of grace. He's gentle and tender and loving and kind and forgiving and gracious and merciful. And he'll change you. He'll help you change. So I want to invite you to step out of the kingdom of darkness and to step into the kingdom of light. Step out of the kingdom of Satan and step into the kingdom of Jesus. It's in that kingdom that you succeed. So come on, let's bow our heads together. Let's bow our heads together. You're here tonight. You say, oh, Pastor Gary, I'm not in the kingdom. I'm on the outside. I've been running from the king. I've been doing my own thing, but I recognize today that I need to come to Jesus. Ask him to forgive me and give me an opportunity to be a part of his kingdom. And today I want to make that decision. You're here right now. You instantly become a citizen of heaven. You instantly become a member, a citizen in the kingdom of God. All the rights, all the privileges are yours. You can begin to walk in them. Say, yes, it's me. Pray for me. I want to pray for you. Just right now, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to surrender to his authority. You need to be born again. You need to get saved. You need to walk into the forgiveness of Jesus. Just lift your hand. Say, yes, it's me. Pray for me, Pastor Gary. I want to receive Jesus. Come on, lift up your hand. Wherever you are, thank you. Thank you up in the balcony as well. Just lift up your hand. Most important decision you'll ever make. This is the beginning of a whole new life, a new chapter. Thank you. Just lift your hand. Say, yes, it's me. Yes, it's me. Thank you. Thank you. And I have a friend that's going to come, and they're going to sit with you at the end of the service, and they got a little booklet that they want to give you and help you in any way that they can. But I wonder if you'd pray a simple prayer with me, would you? Pray a simple prayer with me, a prayer of repentance. Changing your mind, changing your direction, repentance. Today, I ask you, accept me as a member of your kingdom. I turn from all those other things that have dragged me away, and I walk to you. Receive me, wash me, change me, make me a new person from today on. My allegiance is to you, my King, my Lord, my God. I'm going to live for you. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, yeah! Woohoo!
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portodochurch.com.